I'm going to read Revelation chapters 2 and 3. While we read, I want you to pay attention to what does Jesus praise in these churches? What does Jesus condemn in these churches? What are his warnings and what are his promises? Listen to the word of God. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written which no one knows except him who receives it. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest of Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. But hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like a potter's vessel, as I also have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Loveless Ephesus, persecuted Smyrna, compromising Pergamos, corrupt Thyatira, zombie Sardis, faithful Philadelphia, and lukewarm Laodicea, the seven churches of Asia. Jesus walks among his churches, rewarding and punishing, praising and blaming, encouraging and warning. Did you notice what I noticed in my recent reading of these chapters? That there is no reference in them to a healthy church or to an unhealthy church. That is standard, current evangelical ways of describing churches. Do you have a healthy church? Do you have an unhealthy church? It's a metaphor that has its use, but I just notice it's completely absent from these chapters. Instead of that sort of overall evaluation, you have Jesus' specific praising of certain things, specifically blaming certain things, and then having specific warnings suited and promises suited. Did you notice what Jesus praises in these churches? I think they all come down to three things. One is right up front with Ephesus. You insist on truth and righteousness. You've tested false teachers and you've rejected them. Here's the second thing.
Works of love and faith. Not feelings of love and faith. Not talk of love and faith. But works of love and faith. The love and faith that looks out for the weak and the sick and the lonely, one another, and spreads beyond the church. Your works of love and faith turns up several times in the churches. And here's a third thing that Jesus praises over and over again, maybe even more than the first two. Patience and endurance. The Christian life has been likened to a race in the Bible, and it's always a long-distance race, not a sprint. It's been likened sometimes to a boxing match, and if you know anything about boxing, it's often the person who just stands it longest who gets to win. Patience and endurance. Ephesus, even Thyatira, Philadelphia. He says, I know your patience, I know your endurance, that you keep at it year after year after year, your church life, your family life, your Christian life. Now, one more thing that struck me, and that is, the Lord has special words of love for what looked to me like the smallest and weakest of the seven churches. Philadelphia and Smyrna. Smyrna, because it's persecuted and under heavy pressure. And Philadelphia, probably not very large. And he has nothing negative to say to either Philadelphia or Smyrna. We Americans do judge things by size. The Bible does rejoice in large numbers added to the faith. But in this evaluation of the churches, it is simply not something that Jesus directly praises. What does he condemn? Two things. Fading love. Remember, he says, how you loved at first. This is both Ephesus, the first of the seven, and Laodicea, the last of the seven. The zeal that you had once, what has happened to it now? The efforts to be kind, what have happened to them now? The faithfulness in the means of grace, what has happened to it now? One can go on by momentum for a long time, still being persevering, still being doing good works, and yet the love can just leach away. It can happen in a marriage, and it can happen in a church, and it is not something that pleases the Lord. He condemns it. And here's the other thing he condemns. Tolerating false teaching and immoral behavior. Well, doesn't that come up a number of times? Did you notice that? There's the Nicolaitans. There's somebody like Balaam who taught Balak how to put a stumbling block in place of Israel. You may or may not remember that Old Testament history. I won't repeat it now. There's that woman that he calls Jezebel, picking up the worst of the women from the Old Testament, this awful queen of Israel. Teaching people, especially in those first years of the church, to say, you know, it's all right to do this that you really want to do in terms of compromise and have involvement with the idols. How tempting for those who had come out of paganism. Family pressures, social pressures, they'd give way. And you have somebody saying it's okay to give way. God understands. Or it's okay to give way. It's just with your body. Don't really worry, your spirit's good. He hates that kind of compromise. And sexual immorality. Always has plagued the church, as it has always plagued society. There is something deeply deranged about human sexuality. I can imagine what Jesus would say right now about churches teaching certain things they've now come to peace with in our society, going along with the times that we live in. I think he would have heavy words of condemnation in letters written now. Warnings and encouragements. Here's the first warning. It's not actually a warning. It's just a statement of fact that we ought to constantly remember. Jesus says, I see your works. I see your works. It is well known that people misbehave worse when they are not being watched, or when they don't think they are being watched, than when they are. Every teacher knows this. Step out of the classroom. What will it be like when you step back in 2 minutes later? Every parent knows this. Let the children play by themselves. Let them get quiet for very long, and you'd better go check. What are they up to? Churches that forget that they live their lives before God are inclined to be growing careless. And so Jesus says over and over again, I know your works. I see your works. He has eyes like a flame of fire that can see everything. He holds the churches in his hand and walks among them. Two ways of saying that we live by his grace and his choice. It is not just up to us. He describes himself as the first and the last who came back to life, who has a sharp two-edged sword, the faithful and true witness. And from this Jesus we have warnings. To Sardis, I will come like a thief against you. All will seem fine, and suddenly your life will be snuffed out. To Laodicea, if you do not repent, I will spit you out like lukewarm water. To Ephesus, a very straightforward, I will remove your lampstand. To Pergamos, I will come and make war against you. To Thyatira, I will take the lives among you of blatant sinners. They all amount to, the church is not guaranteed to just go on and on and on. It lives by Christ's sufferings, by his grace, and by his approval. And then the promises. Promises that look forward. Permission to eat at the tree of life in Ephesians 2:7. Think how much of human history has actually been motivated by looking for that tree of life that it's blocked. You can't get back to it in Eden. If you remember your early American explorers, isn't there somebody who thinks there's life everlasting in Florida? So you have who was that? Ah, yes, okay. And right now you have scientists saying, you know what, death is not necessary. We're going to fix it by science. That's driving a significant amount of research at this point. Now, it's deep in the human heart. I want to eat of the tree of life. There are other scientists working on, maybe we can figure out how to upload your identity from your brain into some computer and then put it back in something else and you'll live forever. There's bizarre stuff working right now. There's the kind of life to the faithful until death, Smyrna. Hidden manna and a white stone with new name on it in Pergamos. To Thyatira, authority over the nations. We'll see a lot more of that in this book. Sardis, you'll be clothed in white garments. Philadelphia. Did you feel a special kinship just as we read about that city? I mean, it's a good name. Philadelphia. You'll be a pillar in the temple of our God and not have to leave. And Christ's name written on you. And to Laodicea, sit on the throne with Christ. Let me repeat a few observations. I've obviously skipped an awful lot that one could say on these two chapters. Size doesn't matter greatly to Jesus. Philadelphia is small. Laodicea is prospering. He is pleased with Philadelphia. He is not pleased with Laodicea. He praises true teaching and the rejecting of falsehood. You notice the two go together. He rejects lukewarmness, where People are going through the motions, but they don't really mean it. He rejects a life that doesn't match the teachings, especially in these cities' case, idolatry and sexual immorality. He praises patience and endurance and works of faith and love. So if you ask me on the basis of these chapters, what is a healthy church? By the way, you'll notice we've had no discussions of what is a healthy church. But here is a healthy church. It loves true teaching and knows how to reject what is false and will. It is patient and endures as things go well, and as things don't go well, it makes no difference. They are patient and endure. And the works of faith and love never stop coming. What's the main punishment for the faults of a church if it doesn't fix it? It is that the church will cease to exist. The candle will be removed. It will no longer radiate life. It's exactly the same punishment as Israel into exile. Doesn't mean that every believer in the church is lost. That's not the point. But the church itself. Jesus walks among the candlesticks, and he judges, and he evaluates, he sees, and he knows. And those who are his, most of all, look forward to his coming and wait to hear these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Amen.